This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And good afternoon and welcome to Newsmakers. It is Tuesday. That means we have Mayor Chuck Bennett with us. And our guest host again today, TJ Sullivan from the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce. He is the current president, reelected.
Yeah.
Don't know why you didn't say no.
Community do-gooder. That's why.
Okay.
I have a problem saying no.
Brent is actually off for the next couple of days. He'll be back on Thursday. So,
right. As I explained yesterday, life-size tattoo of Ernest Borgnine on his back, getting it removed.
Yeah.
Found out that's not the case, allegedly.
Yeah, right.
So he's out trying to recruit. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's trying to recruit. You remember Ernest Borgnine, don't you?
Yeah. No, I thought that was one of his kind of tells. You know?
Yeah. I mean, well, so anyway, so Brent is out trying to recruit airlines to Salem in what will be the largest economic development factor, because here's the deal. As we're seeing right now, there's fires again in California,
right,
in Sonoma County this time. And so their wine industry is getting hit hard by these fires. And the Willamette Valley is also developing a reputation. I was just in Cincinnati, Ohio, and it was interesting. We went to this nice restaurant in downtown Cincinnati, and they had a one whole page of Willamette Valley Pinots.
Wow.
Oregon wines. I mean, it was Oregon wines, but there was a whole section on Willamette Valley Pinots. So this is a tourism opportunity to bring people here. And what we know is that when people want to visit a place, they also want to live there. And so this is a great way to attract people to our area. And so getting an airline here is a huge deal, because when they land at Portland, a lot of times they don't make it down far enough into our area. And so the wineries here, there are so many of them that are doing, cranking out great products. It helps our agriculture. And so the work that Brent's doing right now is really super important.
Absolutely.
Well, I really hope they get that airline connected to Cincinnati. I go there once or twice a year.
Oh, jeez. There's no good way to get to Cincinnati.
No, there isn't.
You got to fly somewhere to get there. It's just, I don't know.
Well, somewhere you really don't want to go. That's what it always is for me. Right. We go there. I would like, if they're going to take our Pinot, I'd like to have their Skyline Chili. I really like that Cincinnati chili, man.
It's a weird deal. It's you either have to pick one of two types of chili. When you're there, it's Skyline. I can't remember the name of the other one.
Gold Star.
Yeah, they used to be part of the same family, and then, as all good stories go, they got in a fight, and they make their chili. One of them makes it with cinnamon, and the other one makes it with cocoa. And people on the West Coast are completely perplexed, because they also put noodles
fabulous
with it.
Well, it's noodles, beans, onions, huge mound of cheese, and mole sauce.
Oh,
and
that sounds good.
The one to eat is Skyline.
Okay.
That Gold Star stuff is the kind of thing you get at a bus terminal when you're trying to get out of town. But Skyline is kind of a gourmet special.
Well, there you go. So for any of you that are trying to get to Cincinnati, you can decide for yourselves.
And you get it. Two-way, three-way, five-way, five-way inverted, five-way inverted juicy. There's a whole way to – it's a culture back there. And
yeah,
it's just
like
in
it.
That southern Ohio area.
Right. That's amazing. Why it's hard to get there.
Yeah. But you can get there through Kentucky.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. That's where you have to go. Kentucky through Indiana, then to Cincinnati.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Chuck, thanks for being here. Thanks for the work that you do. I've been on council with you. I know what it's like, and it's a huge uptick in the amount of time that you have to give when you go from being a counselor to being mayor. So thank you for that.
No,
a lot
thank
of times,
you, TJ.
People that no, come up and they want to complain.
I'm rarely acknowledged for that, so
yeah.
I appreciate that.
Well, no, I know what it's like, so I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Because usually when you're in that position, nobody comes up to you like, hey, let me just tell you something. You're doing a great job, and everything's going great in the city.
You know, though, in Salem, I do get a lot of really positive feedback. I mean, I get the, you know, what can we do about? And
right.
I think that's part of why you're mayor, is to hear about the what do we do abouts and try to work with people on some ideas. But we also get a lot of folks, I do, coming up just saying, boy, this town is just getting awesome.
Right.
And particularly our downtown, and I think all over town, it's just really gotten to be and I think it's always been. I mean, I've been here for over 50 years, so I'm obviously committed. But I think it's just a great town, and I really do think it's getting better. There are, particularly downtown, I'm really excited. You know, how we've talked over the years as councilors and for me now as mayor about one of the things you always ran on for office, we'll do a vital downtown. Well, we really, I think about 15 years ago, set our heads to it and said, we're going to make that downtown vital. And I'll tell you what, it's paying off.
Yeah, I think one of the things that we looked at was how do you can try and make it hard to develop at the outer fringes of your community, which I think then leads to haphazard growth.
Yeah.
But if, you know, we looked at it when I was on council is how do we make our downtown attractive?
Yeah.
Because the more attractive our downtown is, the more people that are going to want to live down there. And that takes a lot of pressure off of your urban fringes and the growth that would occur out there, rather than trying to put limitations on it and make it more difficult to develop, which again, then you see people going and building in other parts, and then it just stretches out, you know, people's commute and their dependence on the automobile. But downtown development helps in so many different ways, and that's what we really committed to, and you're really seeing that. In fact, I probably posted way too many pictures of the work being done on Prinkle Creek, but that was a decision that was made,
yep,
you know, 15 years ago, 18 years ago,
yep,
as we started to work through some of these things. And it's fun to see the decisions that you made 15 years ago, 18 years ago, come to fruition and play out in this way that is really making our downtown an attractive place to be.
Yeah, I just couldn't agree with you more. And I think particularly, and it has been couple of decades really committed to getting housing downtown. Well, it started awfully slow. I mean, the rivers went up, whatever it's been now, 15, 18 years ago.
Yeah.
And now we just regularly are announcing developments either right in the downtown or at the edge of downtown. We had one last night, a high rise on 13th Street near the Safeway on Center Street.
Yeah.
It's a building. In fact, part of the reason there's a high rise zone there is there's a 6 or 7 story building there that's been apartments, it's been offices, it's going back to being condoized. Really going to be a nice project, and the city is participating with that developer and putting that together. Be a tremendous addition in that area. But you can walk to the Capitol, you can walk into the Capitol Mall, walk downtown, ride your bike, whatever. A lot of that's going on, and what you're seeing are people are very interested in living downtown. The better it gets, the more they want to. That's what you start to discover. We still like to get another grocery store in that downtown area, a couple of things like that, but, you know, it'll come.
Yeah, well, it follows the restaurant or the grocery chain will follow, the grocery store will follow the people living
That's
down
right.
there. The more, I mean, when that population gets high enough, somebody's going to look at the numbers, because that's what it's always driven on is population count. But I think that you are seeing, and mixed use is always a big term, but I really like the term mixed income, where you
yes.
get people from different demographics that are our neighbors that are interacting, because you know you want to have that connection between people in your community. That's what makes it stronger, when you have somebody who's just starting out who can get synced up with somebody who's been around the block and has built up a successful business and can provide some mentoring, or you know, somebody who's been involved in a career for a long time who's meeting somebody who's just getting started. When you get those mixed income coming together, I mean, that's one of the things I always say about Salem. You got west and south, and you got north and east, and the more that we can integrate that, that's what your downtown should do, is bring people from these different walks together,
yeah,
and have them connect. And that's the beauty of a strong downtown.
Well, I just couldn't agree with you more. I think that is an objective, affordable, providing affordable units downtown. And the more units you have, the more possibility you get to that. But it is challenging. Part of the difficulty with affordable housing is how to make it affordable, because right now we have substantial demand for market rate housing. Right. And so that's kind of what's being built. But I can see developing a real interest among developers toward affordable or but a mix, making sure. And as you mix it, you also are able to create the kind of financial opportunity that brings a developer to the table. And I think a prime example of that that the public may want to watch is going to be out at the north the old north campus of the state hospital, out right. between Park and Center, or between Center and D and Park and 25th. That is going to develop into a really substantial housing development. And part of that, with city participation, will include a substantial amount of mixed-in affordable housing, low-income housing, really, plus the old nurses' quarters right next door to it will also be substantial low-income housing. But it's a mix with market rate, and I think it's going to be a really exciting place. People are going to spot that and figure out that is a great place to live.
Are they going to be called the Cuckoo's Nest Condos?
Wow. I don't know that they've named them yet, but I'll pass that along to the developer.
Yeah. Just going to give an ode to the past?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Sure. All right. We have a new city councilor finalized. We'll talk about that when we come back. TJ and I talked about homelessness yesterday. We want to talk to you about it as well, and some of the programs that are working or not working.
Okay.
And some other stuff that the mayor has been up to in the last part of this
hour. We're gonna play Would You Rather with the mayor later.
There you go.
It's going to be great.
Really?
It'll be fun.
Really? Can I make money off that?
Yes.
There'll be no prizes today.
No prizes today? Oh, gosh. I was hoping at least a free meal somewhere.
Oh, well, maybe.
The Secretary of State's list, you can't say that.
I can't. It doesn't mean I'll get anything.
Yeah, no.
I'm always pretty comfortable when I challenge on that I just never get a taker, which is really good.
Nice. We're with Salem Mayor Chuck Bennett, TJ Sullivan's guest hosting for Brent DeHart today. I'm Dave Bourne. Thanks for joining us on Newsmakers. We'll be right back on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem. Welcome back to Newsmakers. Guest host TJ Sullivan from the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce. He's the president. He's sitting for Brent today. And with us is, of course, on Tuesdays, Mayor Chuck Bennett of Salem. We wanted to talk a little bit about what happened last night, the city council meeting with the final vote, replacing Ward 7.
Yeah, well, as you'll recall, there was a mistake in terms of how many votes it took to appoint somebody. So last Monday, we had a vote of 4-3-1 on the race on the replacement. And Vanessa Nordyke, a member of our budget committee, had 4 votes.
Which is 50%.
Half, yeah, half. Which is half. That's right. Not a majority. It's
right.
Plurality is what we learned as we kind of went along. Reed Sund had 3, and Bonnie Heisch, who had dropped out, had 1. So we came back, we had quite a discussion in the background on this thing and realized a mistake was made by the city attorney when he said 4 was a win. We had to have 5. Revoted last night, and Vanessa Nordyke got 6, and that made her immediately the city councilor for Ward 7. I think it was pretty clear that she had, with 4, she was just 1 short, and it would have really surprised me if she'd not been the winner last night.
I wonder why somebody in the council would vote for somebody that had already backed out.
Oh, sometimes... you know, I've seen this kind of voting over the years. You see it particularly over at the legislature as they choose their leadership, this kind of voting. And there's kind of signaling goings on. There's messages being sent. And I think there was a message being sent by one of the members about
a certain amount of both candidates,
yeah, right?
Certain amount of dissatisfaction with the way the candidates
I could see
were
it.
Lining up.
I could see it if it was on a ballot that was already printed.
Her name was there.
Oh, okay. So it
last
was on
night,
the ballot. Okay.
It was not on the ballot. And we were also instructed by the city attorney that you couldn't do any write-ins. If we'd been unable to reach a majority last night, we had 8 people voting, so it could have ended up 4-4. We'd agreed in advance, a couple of us, that it would get sent back to our boards and commissions and see if we need to reconstitute the ballot with more names, different names, see where we could go. But it, obviously, 6-2 resolved the issue very quickly.
Sure.
So right out of the bat, she gets to vote on this new utility fee. And how did she vote on the utility fee?
Well, sometimes that's what happens is once you're on the council, you have to vote.
Right.
And Councilor Nordyke and others on the council voted to impose that fee or to move forward on imposing the fee. There'll be a second reading and all that. This was the first reading of it. So you had 6-3. We had 6 votes to impose it and 3 against it. Myself, Nanke, and Lewis voted against imposing it, that we were more interested in seeing that go to a vote if you're going to try to.
So no chance of doing
attach
that?
Attach a fee, no. Well, I say no. There are chances. I mean, it could be amended at the next meeting. It'll be two people will suddenly say, you know, I really think we ought to send that. You know, Bennett was right. We ought to send that out to a vote. I'm not going to put any money on that one. I don't think that's going to happen.
So phone calls and emails to the council?
Well, I don't think it
pressuring
hurts.
Pressuring them?
I don't think it ever hurts to share your opinion. Pressuring them might be a different way.
Okay, we'll send a strong message, emails and phone calls.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then after the second reading, after it's enacted, I believe there's 30 days for members of the public to gather signatures and refer it to the voters, create an initiative that essentially refers it to the voters. And in that 30 days, you'll need to collect about 4,000 signatures in the city. It's based on the number of votes received by the mayoral candidate in the last election. I think it was close to 40,000 votes
yeah.
for mayor last time. So it's based on 10% of that number. And that's a challenge. I mean, collecting signatures is a challenge.
That's
I don't know if anyone is even contemplating that. And then there would be a public vote in May. The council also voted to send to the voters a measure to do a payroll tax, which would be a tax on a very small amount, very small percentage, on income earned in the city of Salem. That means anyone who works in the city of Salem, and just to give you a feeling, 60,000 people commute into Salem daily to work. They would help pay for the services here in the city under this proposal. But that'll go to the voters in May if it is approved at a second reading. And that one passed 8-1. Nanke was the sole no vote on that. He was uncomfortable with people from out of town being required to pay a payroll tax.
Well, if they work in the city, they're using the city services.
Well, that was the argument.
Yep, well, yeah. That's a good argument.
We'll put you on that ad when we run it out.
Do I need to call Nanke and talk to him?
Just give Nanke a call and say, hey, this just makes perfect sense.
It does.
Well, it is. I mean, it is a tax, so it is good that people get to vote on it. And the same thing with the utility fee. I'm disappointed that, you know, there's so many people who don't know what this is going for. And that was been my point to the council the entire time is there's a huge segment of our population who doesn't know anything about this. And there's a certain amount of ramp up period where you have to explain these are the services that you're going to get. This is what we're going to be doing with this money, and make the case that you need to pass it. That's what builds trust in your government. That's what builds trust in your elected officials. And I understand people say, well, gosh, you know, they elected us to make these tough decisions. Well, they did, but the tough decision then is to pass it back to them, to pass it back to the voters. I mean, that's the tough decision, to give them the time to understand, because there's a lot of people who are pissed off that they're getting this charge onto their bill and they don't know what it's for.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying, TJ. I think the way I would describe it is, when I ran for mayor, I did not make the central point in my campaign,
right,
please elect me because I will raise your utility bill unilaterally without a vote. That was not put to the voters in my case. And I don't believe I heard any city council members say they would do that either. So this idea, I was elected to raise your utility rate, I think is a bit specious. I think you're really hitting on it. What the public expects is that I'm going to spend the time, the energy, and have the knowledge to package up a proposal that I believe is worthy of public support. I think cooked into the way the city operates is over 60% of the money spent by the city in its general fund, which is what's really being discussed here, is for police and fire. And I think when you add in code enforcement and some of those others, you're starting to get up towards 70%. So just by necessity, the money being raised is going to be predominantly going to those services because there's no place else to spend the money. Now, that doesn't mean that there can't be other ideas dreamed up. I mean, we have used some general fund monies to put together a homeless program. There are different things. The one going to the voters, the payroll tax, is specifically dedicated to police and fire. We have needed a substantial increase in our police officers in this town for years.
Sure.
We're still working with the same number of employees we had 10 years ago. I mean, this is not a city that is growing its employees, but we're sure adding population, and we're seeing crime increasing. We're seeing other things going on that would indicate. I mean, people say we want safer streets. Well, I'll tell you one thing that does make safer streets is a cop that stops a person speeding or breaking the law in some other way, turning into a pedestrian. We need to get people out on those traffic patrols. That will help. We have cut back on our firefighters to where we only have 3 people on each ladder truck. Now, you can debate the issue, but the standard is 4, and particularly now that most of what's going on is health services. I mean, they're being called in because you're having a heart attack. And
right,
the more people present, the better chance you're going to have to make it out of that thing. And they're all EMTs. So there's a whole discussion I think is worth having there. We have more conflict between neighbors over code enforcement, whether somebody's parking a trailer in front of their house or their cat's coming over and using your garden and those kinds. And that's a lot of what code enforcement can work with, and that creates a lot of conflict in the community. So there's places to deal with this, but I believe, just like you, TJ, we need to have that discussion. I don't think you just drop it on people. I think that was one of the things the city of Kaiser did when it used this mechanism to get additional police services, was they spent, gosh, a year or two out in the community talking about where the money was going, what the need looked like, and creating that kind of community consensus that
and
allows
it,
you to
And
make
it
that.
Passed it, by a large margin,
it
didn't
did
it?
It did pass, yeah. And that's why I didn't quite understand why not kind of rely that Salem voters, Salem taxpayers, are at least as sophisticated as Kaiser voters and taxpayers, and that if you have a good argument and a rational argument that is provable in the statistics, they're going to vote for it.
Every vote or every tax should be put to the voters.
That's always been my theory.
Two cents in there.
Yeah.
We need to take a break, gentlemen. Salem Mayor Chuck Bennett is here along with guest host TJ Sullivan from the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce. I'm Dave Bourne. We'll be right back on Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Rich Kansky, and this segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
Great guy, Rich Kansky.
Oh, yeah. He's one of those guys quietly giving back in so many different ways in our community.
Yeah.
Not just what he does, you know, charitably, but just how he goes out and how he hires people and how he's bringing in and kids who are in high school and giving them their first job. He's finding folks at second chance opportunities, people who, you know, have had some bumps in their life and they're looking to get back. And then just everybody in his organization, I mean, he really treats them like they're family, and you see a difference in the work that they do. We use them for our stuff commercially, and I just am always amazed at the effort that those guys give, and you know, they're a great extension of Rich's personality of just going the extra mile. So
it's been a hard time trying to get him to get in here. Because we want to sit down. Brent and I have been talking about having Rich in here for some time now.
Yeah.
About talking about the whole thing that you just talked about.
Yeah.
You know, him owning the business and how he's made his business work and how it's working and what people are doing with their landscaping and how he sees the business going and all that kind of stuff.
Just like yours. Fun fact about Rich, we were actually born about 6 houses apart.
What?
Yeah. So we were both little bippers on 62nd Court Northeast, out by Fruitland. From the time I was 0 to 5,
we were
neighbors, and we used to get into all kinds of trouble, as you know, 3 to 5 year olds can get into.
Sure. Yeah. Out there in their tricycles.
Exactly. Yeah. We rule the neighborhood.
TJ Sullivan is the guest host. He's the president of the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce. He's in for Brent, who's out.
You almost forgot his name. It's only been a few days.
Yeah, like, Brent DeHart.
What's his name?
Old Brent.
It's Tuesday. That means Salem Mayor Chuck Bennett is also with us. And we were talking a little bit about the homeless problem that we were trying to solve. TJ, you and I had talked about it yesterday, and Brent and I have talked about it at length, and Mayor, we've talked about it with you before. Do you really see an end to it? I mean, homeless has been around since the beginning of time, pretty much.
Yeah, well, I think part of it is to suggest that there is kind of a solution that just resolves
the issue.
It's
very complicated.
Well, it is, and it's also based on individuals sort of moving through their lives and running into issues that put them into this position. What appears to be the situation is we have a reasonably stable part of our community that is homeless. And one of the things that I think we've accomplished is we've identified the hardest to house, and we are working our way through that group. Which is essentially kind of a street people situation, moving them through the housing rental assistance program into housing. They haven't been in housing for 10 to 15 years at a minimum, mm-hmm.
Right.
Moving them into housing with wraparound services to deal with some of the causes. And some of the causes are health, mental health, and addiction, and also bad credit, a felony conviction. I mean, there can be a package of issues that come together, and we're working with those individuals. We've got about 250 50 or so people involved in that program at this point.
Okay, so now before you continue with that, what about, we haven't really heard about the families that are homeless. Kids that are homeless and families, whether they're single parents or a whole family, is that still a problem?
Oh, yeah. I mean, remember, the city of Salem currently houses about 3,000 people under various programs, primarily federal programs. The problem is that in that population, which is a different kind of group, you've got folks that still have systems in place that can help them, whether it's family members or others, and they're passing through this event in their lives. But we have programs for those folks. We just don't have enough. I mean, it is just, that's why we have to have a housing policy, which is to build all kinds of housing, whether it's market rate, affordable, but making sure there's enough places to live in Salem for everybody who wants to live in Salem. And we are working on that very hard. This city has a very aggressive housing policy. I'll just give you an example. Last night we approved over 600 units, or the basics, to develop 600 units out the old mushroom plant out near, out on State and Cordon Road. Huge development. I was just out on Kale Road. 800 units are being built up there. Of market rate housing are being built in that area.
With enough parking?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, this single family, this neighborhoods.
Okay.
Oh, this whole neighborhoods. Last night we approved, there's a high rise over on 13th Street, about the 300 block of
Safeway. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That is being turned into housing.
Right.
A mixed use, but mainly for some housing. I mean, the list just goes on and on, the apartments. So we're really working on making sure there's just enough housing out there, which is a challenge. Remember, we just came out of the worst recession, really, in our lifetimes. It wasn't a depression, but, it got very, very close. Well, that just ended development of housing. So we're in that process. The other is working with the nonprofits and working on a coordinated effort to deal with the whole range of issues that cause people to come into homelessness. And I'll be, during my State of the City in January, I'll be talking about, I think, some new program initiatives that I'm looking at with the city to deal with some of this, some of the issues in this. And like I say, they're a very mixed bag. I mean, I just give you an example. I have for several years argued strenuously, but to no avail, that one of the primary things we need is a place for people to take their stuff.
Right.
We see all these folks walking around with pushing shopping carts or some other system to try to hang on to their stuff. And they don't have any place to put it that's secure, so they're having to take all this with them, park it with them when they're standing on the side of the street or on the sidewalk. I have just thought that makes no sense to me at all. Why haven't we been able to find a place or an organization with a place that can help people take that stuff in, have it secure while they're out trying to lead their lives on the street without having to push a shopping cart or a wheelchair or something else at the same time. And I think we're headed there. Union Gospel Mission is breaking ground this week or next week.
Yeah, I think Monday is their
groundbreaking. And that's going to include some portion for that kind of storage. I continue to argue with the city that we need to find a building that we've got that we can somehow staff. Problem is cost.
I mean,
just quite simply, if you want to secure it, you got to make sure it's secure. You can't just take people's stuff and not have a secure way to store it. So there's a lot of things going on. I think we will continue to work on this. It's at the absolute top of the city council's agenda, It's also at the top of the public's concern about the community of Salem is that we continue to work on this issue, and we will. When I came on to when I became mayor, the issue the council was talking about at that time was how to deal with people panhandling. That was the symbol of homelessness.
Sure.
It is so much different than that now, the way we're approaching this. We are really, I think, much more systemic in our approach. And I know people don't like seeing panhandlers, but I think people have gotten to where they understand the issue, really, is how do we get these people out of the cold, out of the wet, out of the real degradation of certain types of homelessness and into some sort of safe and appropriate housing.
How do we get them out of the cycle that they're in that's dragging them down? And I think and it's not an either or.
No, no.
You know, it's a both and. That's why when we talk about this sidewalk behavior ordinance, people say, well, no, you can't do that. It's too mean. It's not fair. It's a both and. We're saying, I mean, when you go talk to downtown businesses and we're saying to them, listen, we need you to be operating in downtown. We want you to be here. We want you to be successful. Please make the investment. Please do everything that you can to invest into our downtown. And then you talk to them and it's like, okay, well, we had this experience and that experience, and this is impacting people coming into our store and wanting to shop with us. And then if you're a consumer and you have a choice to make, I can go to the Woodburn Outlet Mall and I can shop there without having my kids get approached, me be menaced or intimidated or whatever. If you can go there, people will go there instead. And what we're saying is, it's a both and scenario. We need both the housing and the wraparound services and a sidewalk behavior ordinance so that we can address the needs of both parts of this equation. You know, we're not just saying a no-sit lie all the time, and we're not going to provide any of the back-end services. As a business community, we understand that we need to help take care of these people too. And that's why when I look at who's really being involved in the solutions, it's the nonprofits and folks from the business community saying, how do we come alongside and help our neighbors who are homeless, who are drug addicted, who are dealing with mental health issues, who have hit, you know, medical bills that they can't afford and are as forced, you know, to leave their housing? How do we help them in those situations? And what I see is the business community really looking at it and saying, we want to come alongside and make this happen. It's good business. Business thrives in peaceful times. And when you have a situation, and it's funny because Eugene just did a huge study on their downtown. This is like a year ago, 2 years ago. And they brought in this lady who's a national consultant with her team. And the idea was to help Eugene identify where a downtown core might be and help to promote it. And this lady was there for 30 days, 60 days with her team gathering information. And then she did a presentation back to the city leaders and whoever from the community wanted to show up. And I went down to listen to it because I was interested in what she was going to say. And she got up and she said, look, we studied all kinds of cities, big cities, little cities, government towns, university towns. We've seen it. And I'm just going to tell you, you guys have got the worst homeless problem I've ever seen. And our recommendations are basically null and void until you fix the homeless issue here, because nobody's going to want to come here and shop because of the homeless issue.
Yeah.
And that should be a wake-up call for anybody that's an elected official that's saying, gosh, I really am uncomfortable doing this because it feels like with a behavior ordinance or a no-sit lie, it feels like the wrong thing to do. No, it's not. You're not helping the situation if you allow people to do what they want, when they want, where they want, without any kind of ramifications. It impacts business. And you want to kill your downtown? Do that.
Yeah.
TJ has a lot on his mind today.
You do.
We'll be right back. As a matter of fact, here on Newsmakers with Chuck Bennett. He's the mayor of Salem. And TJ Sullivan, he's the president of the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce. I'm Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center. Welcome back to Newsmakers. I'm Dave Bourne. Joining me in the studio is Salem Mayor Chuck Bennett, as he always usually does on Tuesdays. And also sitting in for Brent today is President of the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce, T.J. Sullivan. So, Mayor, we were wrapping up our thoughts on homelessness.
And homelessness. Yeah, I want to just comment just really quickly, T.J., on the question of Eugene. I am regularly told what Eugene is doing and why don't we do the same thing, and I think you just described why we're not. We are not going to have a mess like they've got in Eugene. There are better ways to approach this, and we'll continue to, I think, use the best practices that we've been following on how to deal with these various issues. And it won't be a shiny ball. It's going to be the real deal, where we're going to work to help these folks get out of this cycle and into a more productive lifestyle.
Well, as I said yesterday when ending the show, I think that what we're going to do here is going to be the model that other communities are going to want to replicate. So I look forward to that. So would you rather? I have a 14 and a 12-year-old. I take them to school every morning. And in the car, a lot of times we get in there, and it's a would you rather question.
Okay.
And usually with them, it's like, you know, would you rather wear women's clothing for a day or bark like a dog for an hour? And, you know, so you have to make up those kinds of minds. But my question to you is, as it relates to our downtown,
huh?
Yeah. Would you rather see the Truett Brothers area redevelop or the Rite Aid block in downtown redevelop?
Well, right now I'd like to see the Rite Aid block redevelop because it really is in that core area. And that does not to undersell the Truett Brothers area. I think that is a more complicated, expensive area for the kind of redevelopment that really increases the value of the property and the substantial use of it, primarily because the railroad's down through there. The Rite Aid, though, is right at the base of the bridge, highly visible, very large, and I would argue not utilized to its full capacity as a piece of downtown property.
All right. Well, that was an easy would
that was
you
a
rather,
gimme,
right?
Wasn't it? Yeah.
I mean, you look and you see what's happening in Independence with their area,
yeah.
Along the river there, and our river, we're just starting to kind of almost discover that as a potential for development, and I think that that's a great opportunity. But I agree with you that Rite Aid block is it's such a key eyesore in downtown that I just would love to see that piece of property redevelop, and I think that, you know, we started this segment talking about decisions that were made 10 and 15 years ago and how they impact us today. And I guess that'd be my takeaway back to you guys is the decisions you're making today impact Salem 10 to 15 years down the road. And I'll be curious to see how the decisions you're making now impact us.
Well, and the comparable, I think, just to mention is we are going to get that Union Gospel Mission site plus the about a half a block there. And how we decide to do that will be really telling.
Thank you, gentlemen. It's Salem Mayor Chuck Bennett and T.J. Sullivan. We'll see you tomorrow.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.